Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own.
Check.
But just keep in mind that
test,
the views, information,
two.
Or opinions expressed
test,
on the
test,
Tuttle
test.
Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah. It's called free speech, people.
Iggy's
nobody's
back.
Forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest feature and slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle
fish
in Florida.
In the
from
house.
The Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
All right, guys. Hey, what's up, everybody? Man, I got Iggy T back in the house. She was able to sneak across the Canadian border and go and see Paul McCartney up in Seattle. Man, I didn't realize that you were that much of a hipster, Iggy. Going to Seattle, going to see Paul McCartney. You know, it's been a really, really crazy day here in the United States with this whole abortion, overturning Roe versus Wade. Seriously, I mean, it's not a done deal. Like, here, I'll give you an example. Fish on J. I know that you lean more towards the Republicans, but can I get your honest opinion? I really don't think that you are against or you're for women not being able to make a choice when it comes to their own body. And this whole thing has bigger repercussions that we're not even thinking about states' rights and the 10th Amendment. And I'm going to get into that at a later date. It really is. Iggy, you're right. We really, really are going back in time. But I got to call my good friend. My friend Brandon. I've had him on the show before. I'm going to call him now. Hold on. I just want to see. I want to make sure I'm not showing his number and stuff. But Brandon, because the first story out of the gate that I want to talk about, because I do have another guest coming up. And I want to have him on because Brandon is an expert when it comes to herpetology. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Tuttle, how's it going?
Hey, man, how are you, buddy?
Oh, not too bad.
All right, so I sent you the news story that I'm going to play, and I'm going to, here, before I get into it, I'm still learning all this.
The tragedy that happened this past weekend.
Can you hear that?
Your rattlesnake roundup.
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay, so you can hear that. All right, so.
Yeah.
So you watched the news story and stuff, and before I get into playing this news story, tell my audience a little bit about yourself, because I have had you on the show before, and. You're a herpetologist, correct? I mean, or like, how would you describe yourself? Because out of all the people I know, you are just like one of the most knowledgeable people that I know when it comes to reptiles.
Well, I would describe myself as a herpetologist, but I'm more of an ecologist than reptiles.
So, but haven't you worked on a lot of movie sets? Like, don't you clear a lot of the movie sets and stuff when they're on filming locations?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing the last several years out in New Mexico. I'm an ecological consultant. So they have us out on film sets to, you know, mitigate conflict with rattlesnakes and, you know, sometimes other sensitive species that might need to be taken care of.
All right, so this story was a rattlesnake. Now, here, let me get into this story first, and then I'll ask you questions as I'm playing it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that works.
All right, here we go.
The tragedy that happened this past weekend at the Frio Rattlesnake Roundup.
All right, so is this something? This sounds like something that's happening in the Midwest, like a rattlesnake roundup type deal.
Yeah, there's a few states that still have roundups. Texas is the big one. Basically, they just have these contests that, you know, they try to collect the most rattlesnakes or the biggest rattlesnakes.
And, do you agree with this? Is this something that you support? Or like...
Oh, not... No, you know, I understand, you know, where people come from. You know, they don't necessarily love snakes the way that I do. But what I do expect from people is to have, you know, basic understanding of ecology and what happens whenever you pull out hundreds of, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of rattlesnakes from an area. You're going to increase all kinds of problems.
Brandon, what is the biggest cluster of rattlesnakes that you've ever come across? Because I do know sometimes, don't they get in like dens? I know here in the state of Florida, a lot of people want to mess around with gopher tortoise holes that the gopher tortoises make. And a lot of people don't realize that rattlesnakes use those same holes and everything. What is the biggest concentrate of rattlesnakes that you've ever seen?
I personally haven't seen any massive congregations. You know, in New Mexico, we had, you know, den sites with Western Diamondback rattlesnakes, and, you know, maybe I've seen like a dozen at a time.
Man, like, do you just back up? Like, I mean, when you got that many around, and what is the strike distance of a rattlesnake? I've heard like it's something unbelievable.
You know, I generally say around like 3/4 the body length, but in reality, some of the snakes, if they're in a really, you know, defensive posture and you keep messing with them, they might get really excited and jump about their full body length.
Oh man. So, all right. So let me play a little bit of this. And if you want to jump in, I can hear you. So if you got something to say, just jump in and I'll stop. Okay.
Okay.
Saturday, 60-year-old Eugene De Leon Sr. died after he was bitten by a rattlesnake. He was a snake handler with decades of experience. Patrick Johnstone spoke to De Leon's daughter about her loss.
All I can say is that my dad passed on doing what he loved the most.
Blanca Trevino said her father started handling snakes when he was 18 years old.
My dad is my hero. He was the bravest man that I knew to handle these sorts of dangerous
things. Hey, Brandon, so I got to ask you, okay, you handle some poisonous snake sometimes. You're very, very careful. Like, if you happen to get taken out by these snakes that you love, do you want your loved ones to be mad at you, mad at the snakes? Or is that just part of doing business?
No, I will say that the difference between the way that I handle snakes and the way that, you know, a lot of the people at these roundups handle snakes is very different. As long as I keep, you know, my standards for safety up, I'm not going to have that situation. Some people like to free handle. Some people are moderately safe and do the tailing method where they'll have a hook on the front and their hand on the back, which, you know, I'm comfortable doing that in some situations, but I don't generally recommend it.
What's the closest call?
I personally prefer to have two hooks at a distance, and that snake is never within strike range of me.
Have you ever had a close call?
I mean, I've had some hairy situations with snakes that are, you know, a little overly, you know, agitated, and, you know, it's all defensive for them. You know, they're not going out of their way to bite me. There's a big monkey that's poking them, but they have no idea if it's a life or death situation.
So what you're saying is you're not like doing it for show, like some of these other people are doing. Like you're being very cautious when it comes to it, correct?
That's right. Yeah. You know, I've worked in a few different AZA, you know, zoological institutions. So we have very strict standards with safety. And then in my own, you know, consulting business, just, you know, my whole job is snake safety on film sets. So I'm not out there to make it, you know, make myself look stupid.
Yeah.
Things, and to me as a daughter, it's a blessing.
All right. So, Brandon, did you watch the video that I sent to you?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, so the video that I'm talking about is after the daughter's talk. Now, I will say the guy's got rattlesnake boots on. Do you wear rattlesnake boots when you're going out?
Are you talking about like chaps?
Yeah, like chaps and stuff. Do you wear?
No.
No, you don't. I okay. Mean,
there's no replacement for just being mindful of where you step.
But this guy is not. He is not using any hooks. And what do you call those hooks? What are the proper term for that little like hook that a lot of snake handlers use?
Yeah, we'll just call them snake hooks.
Okay. So, but this guy is holding the snake about mid-body with his left hand here. I mean, that's something you don't suggest, right?
No, I don't suggest it. like I said, if you have, well, really, you shouldn't be handling rattlesnakes at all if you don't have proper training and experience. So I'll just say that right off the bat. But, you know, there are some people that prefer to handle large-bodied rattlesnakes with the tailing method. Like I said, you hold onto the tail, and then you have the hook placed pretty far up on the body to keep it from coming back on you. But that's a very advanced technique that I would not recommend for anybody.
Okay.
To know someone who was brave enough to handle something like this.
The love for snakes ran in the family.
All right, so did you see the picture of the guy wearing the cowboy and they're kissing the snake on their head in that video?
Yeah, I saw that.
I mean, I could already tell by your reaction and laugh that you're like, yeah. Even if you got the snake behind the back of the head like that, I'm not a professional. I would not kiss a snake on the top of the head like that.
Yeah, you know, I love rattlesnakes as much as the next person, but I don't go around kissing them.
Yeah, man. What do you think about the religious people that do the snake handling? Do you just, I'm not saying you're saying anything bad, because Brandon, I've known you, and look, I'm not saying, you don't ever want to offend anybody. Like, Brandon, you're one of the kindest people that I've ever talked to. We've never met in person, but we've talked on the phone a lot, that I just, you never want to offend people, but what do you think about the religious people? I know maybe sometimes, can you remove the venom and fangs out of a snake? Because I also sometimes think that it's just a show when you see the preachers and stuff doing the snake handling and stuff.
I mean, you can remove, venom glands from snakes. It's a very intrusive and pretty cruel procedure to have done, especially for an animal that really depends on.
Well, it's like declawing a cat, right? It's like declawing a cat almost.
It's more than that. I mean, venom is basically modified saliva, so you're more or less just removing its saliva.
Oh, so they can't eat.
And basically what the venom does is it starts breaking down the food, up like a mouse or whatever it is that it's eating. So when you do that, it makes things a lot more difficult for it, especially if you are feeding it live prey. It's not going to be able to take, you're going to have to feed it frozen thawed.
Yeah,
for the rest of its life.
Now, I'll get to that later because I just thought of a question when you said that, but I want to get through this story first.
Okay.
1 year, my brother started, and my dad's passion with my brother started to grow between them.
And for the last 6 years, De Leon...
Man, that... I know I got you on the phone right now, but my God, that is a thick... That is a thick, like how people talk about ladies of like, well, that's a thick ass booty. I mean, that's a thick rattlesnake. Like some of these rattlesnakes can get thick as hell, can't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially Western Diamondbacks and Eastern Diamondbacks and timber rattlesnakes in the U.S.
Have you ever dealt with a sidewinder? Now, you would think handling snakes movement. Understanding the movement of a snake is very important. Does a sidewinder like throw you off at all?
Sidewinders are, they're pretty small. So as long as you're using a good hook, safe distance, you're not really going to be in strike range unless you're doing something stupid.
But the little ones you got to worry about though, right? Because like you don't have because a lot of people don't understand this. Even like when a rattlesnake is born, they got venom, right?
Oh yeah, they still have venom. A lot of people think that the venom is more potent or they're more dangerous when they're babies, but it's really just that they don't have any control over the output of venom. They just let you have it all because every situation is a life and life threatening situation for them.
So they're saying like it's these little baby rattlesnakes are almost like a virgin boy that I'm trying to make jokes here, Brandon, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Like he just he lets it all go at one time is what you're trying to say, right?
Yep, pretty much. yeah, I know your job is to get left. So
all right.
Handled snakes at the Rattlesnake Roundup in Freer.
His biggest dream in the world was to come back and show for his community and be proud of what he did.
Trevino said her father was bitten twice. Both bites were in the shoulder area. That allowed the venom to more quickly spread to...
So, shoulder is pretty bad, right? But, like, what is the worst place to get bit? Face?
I mean, the shoulder's bad, yeah. I mean, I definitely wouldn't want to get bit on the face. You know, I think the doctor here coming up explains it pretty well, but, you know, it's a bad place to get bitten because you're really close proximity to the
brain.
To
your heart?
Yeah, your heart's going to be a bad situation if you get bit anywhere that's feeding directly into the heart. You know, there's not much to do to stop that from taking hold of you.
Hey, Brandon, let me ask you, though. Okay, so, you know, a lot of people, say if somebody is just on a trail or something and they happen to get accidentally bitten by a snake, okay? What are mm-hmm. some of the things that they should do, okay? Because if you get your heart rate up, you know, you get over, you start freaking out and stuff. Your blood's going to be pumping quicker, correct? Like,
yeah.
What are some of the things that the people are listening to the show? Well, let's say if you happen to get bitten by a poisonous snake, like, what are some tips that you can give people?
Well, I mean, like you said, the easiest, I mean, it's easier said than done to stay calm after you get bitten. You know, the most important thing is call 911 as soon as you can. I mean, you might not have phone service if you're out and about in the, you know, out in the sticks, but, you know, that's the first thing. And you know, start seeking medical treatment immediately.
Do you suggest tourniquets or is that a bad thing? No, you don't.
No, that used to be the recommendation. Now it's not the recommendation. Just try to elevate the bite away from your, you know, over your heart level. Take it real slow. Try to get back to your vehicle if it's within range. If it's not, you know, there's medevac. There's other options. You know, if it's a life or death situation, don't overdo it. But
Well, Brandon, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job as an entertainment show if I didn't ask this. You know, you there's been so many comedy movies like City Slickers and all these, like, you know, about sucking out the poison and stuff. Is that complete BS? You know, yeah. It is. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And yeah, in fact, I think, again, and it comes up later in this video that you're playing, it just makes it worse. It doesn't work.
Okay.
And you have a good chance of causing a bacterial infection.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, come on. I'm just asking the questions and stuff.
Yeah. Major arteries where it caused hemorrhaging.
There seems to be a lot more trouble due to, you know, major arteries and the fact that these toxins can travel to the brain and cause bleeding in the brain and also in the lungs.
Anti-venom can only be administered by a doctor.
All right, so the rattles are, what is the most rattles you've ever seen on a rattlesnake? And is it true, like, the longer the rattle, the older the snake is?
Not necessarily. I've seen some that have maybe around 10, you know, segments on their rattle. That doesn't mean that they're 10 years old. Basically, every time they shed, you know, their skin, it adds a little bit to the rattle. And those also break off. So you might have a massive snake that has one or two segments on their rattle.
So what is
not a good indicator of age?
What is inside the rattle? Like, you know, in their tail, like, what is in there that makes the shaking noise? Or is it just the outside shaking together?
It's just those segments rattling together.
Okay, so there's nothing inside, like it's a maraca or something.
No.
Okay.
Next time I'm in Florida, I'll try to remember to bring you a rattle.
Well, if I'm being honest, and I know you're going to hate when I say this, but, like, this was back in the day when I was a young kid. My dad ended up killing a snake. But as he got older, you know, he stayed. He actually, you know, he did not want to... as my dad got older, you know, like when you, you know, generationally, you know, you'll learn about snakes and stuff. Okay. When my dad was younger, there was this big ass rattlesnake, and it was all like back in the day when you were a Southerner, if you could, you could brag about, oh, I killed this big old rattlesnake back in the day, you know? But when my dad got older, like, he would stay away from him, you know? Like, he looked at him as, like, that's something that's keeping rodents away and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, and especially nowadays in Florida, you know, the eastern diamondbacks, their populations are kind of imperiled. So anything we can do to coexist a little better is going to be beneficial for everyone. And yeah. Like you said, you know, they are preventing the spread of diseases by killing rodents. You know, I'm not necessarily that every rodent has, you know,
disease, but they're cutting them down, and they're good for crops and stuff as well too. You know, people they're destroying crops and stuff.
And when you get an overpopulation of rodents, disease is going to be more likely.
Yeah.
So De Leon had to be brought to a hospital in Corpus Christi to receive the antivenom, and even then, antivenom is not just sitting around waiting to be administered.
They have to prepare the antivenom. It just depends what antivenom they have. Yeah, and they have to wait for that reconstitution to occur. And then they're given, you know, the antivenom.
Trevino takes some comfort in knowing.
I don't like how he's holding that snake. Like, I mean, come on, man. I've seen you handle snakes and stuff, but like, he's got it so close to his chest. Like, it could just turn around and bite him that quick.
Yeah, I mean, he's just doing it for show. I mean, I understand, you know, he's trying to, you know, look, you know, make it look exciting.
Yeah.
People, if they watch me do it, they, you know, they might be.
They're going to be bored when they watch you do it. And you know what, Brandon? I can't blame you, because you know what? I want to be able to go home and live another day, man.
And her father died doing what he loved.
To me and to everybody in our community, he was a legend.
Reporting in Freer, Patrick Johnstone, Chris 6 News.
All right, Brandon, before I let you go, I got to ask you this, okay? Let's talk about the different types of venom. Rattlesnakes, that is a venom that, like, stops your nervous system, correct?
Well, there's a few different types of venom, and or at least a few different proteins that make up venom. And rattlesnakes, depending on the species, and sometimes depending on, you know, where that population is, they might have a different type of venom. For Western diamondbacks, like this guy was bitten by, that's primarily going to be a hemotoxin, and that actually attacks blood vessels.
Oh,
and arteries.
Is that clots? Like, because I remember, like, have you ever saw that guy from South Africa that goes down there and, like, gets the black mambas and stuff out of garages and everything? Have you ever watched that show?
Was that, like, Austin Stevens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, but I've seen some of those, like, really dangerous snakes, and they take the venom, and they took some blood that they drew from somebody, okay? They pit the venom, the one that makes the blood clot, they pit it in the blood, and they just waited a few seconds, like, switched it around like they were about to take a sip of it, and they turned it upside down, and, like, it was all one piece. Like, it just can conglomerate, or I know I completely butchered that word, but it made it like into it made it into a big clot.
Yeah, I've never tried that experiment, but yeah, I have seen that video. The hemotoxin is gonna just completely rupture your blood vessels in the area where you're bitten. If you let it go untreated, it's just going to spread throughout your body.
So giving you like a stroke or just like an aneurysm, can it go into your brain and stuff?
Yeah, if it goes into your brain, you're pretty much toast. That's why, you know, you're trying to, you know, reduce your blood flow as much as possible. Just try to elevate that, you know, that bite and get immediate medical treatment, especially for a big, large animal.
So I asked you a couple of weeks about the invasive species here in the state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ever going to get a handle of it in the state of Florida? Because it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. Because you know, we have a subtropical climate, and a lot of these species that are coming here are able to survive in that type of climate. What needs to be done to because I played a story a couple of weeks ago about the tegu, and what can we do? I know that you love reptiles and stuff, but do we have to start killing them on site, or do we just have to like round them up? What needs to be done?
Yeah, I mean, it's a major problem in Florida. Like you said, there's, you know, everything can survive in Florida, and everything tends to. I mean, there's, when you think about it, there's a convergence of issues going on. I mean, there's a perfect weather, perfect climate. Then there's
irresponsible owners,
exotic animals,
irresponsible owners, you know,
irresponsible owners. Yeah.
Can I ask you, though, I didn't hear anything about any of this stuff before Hurricane Andrew. When Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida, I think it had a lot to do with a lot of these species, because I heard one of the zoos down there just got completely decimated.
I mean, that is one of the theories, that Hurricane Andrew may have, you know, exacerbated the problem a lot, but there actually were reports of pythons in the Everglades long before that. So it's hard to say exactly how it started. All we can really say is it's a huge problem now. And
is it possible?
At this point, I don't.
Is it possible to get rid of the pythons down there, or are they here to stay?
I think more or less they're here to stay. We're past the point where we can really, you know, expect to eradicate all of them. At this point, it's more of a management issue. So if we can just try to control them as much as possible. I wouldn't recommend, you know, telling people to kill on site, because, you know, a young Burmese python might resemble a rat snake to, you know, the untrained eye. So I wouldn't want you to just go out and kill snakes in the Everglades if you see them.
What about corn snakes?
Permit programs, you know, FWC has permit programs to train you to go out and hunt the pythons if you're interested in helping.
Are corn snakes native to Florida? Because I've seen those a little bit too.
Yeah, corn snakes are native. Red rat snakes, they're very similar.
Hey, Brandon, I really, really do appreciate you coming on and stuff. Do you have anything you want to plug or promote, even like a wildlife charity or anything like that that you want to promote while you're on?
Well, you know, since we've been talking about rattlesnakes, I think, like I said, I don't expect everyone to love rattlesnakes as much as I do, but, you know, at least hope that everyone can appreciate their ecological importance. Try to coexist with them as much as possible. There's a few great, organizations that you could donate to or join. Like in Florida, there's the Rattlesnake Conservancy. They're based there, but they operate throughout the country and into, you know, other parts of the range of rattlesnakes. There's also Save the Snakes, Advocates for Snake Preservation, the Orient Society. That's out of Central Florida Zoo. So yeah, Florida's got a lot of great opportunities for conservation. So I would encourage your listeners to check those out.
You know, I got my other guest coming on, so I gotta go, Brandon. But I can't thank you enough for your time, my friend. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, man. See ya. Bye. I gotta bring my next up. Hey, what up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, sorry. I just been a really, really busy show. Mark, man, I got to tell you, that is a very impressive beard you have there. Like, seriously. Like, I try to grow facial hair and stuff, and I just can't do it. Now, I got to ask you, do you have a wide-angle camera on? Because I swear to God, that is the longest, biggest microphone that I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry.
It's just a regular webcam. But this is the Rode Procaster, not Procaster, but the Rode.
Okay, so see, I got the Rode too. You know, I got the Rode mic there. But see, this is my mic is the Caucasian version of microphones, and you got the Mr. Marcus, or man, it makes me look really bad that I know male porn stars as well too. But Mark, how are you, my friend? I mean, such a horrible way to start an interview off. Mark, how are you?
I'm good, man. I appreciate that you had me on.
But Mark, where are you calling from?
I'm actually located in the Phoenix metro area of Arizona.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you brought up Phoenix. I just had a guest on that is a herpetologist. And this Mexican dude, he got bit by a rattlesnake and died. And I was just like, you know, some people love, like, reptiles, even the venomous ones and stuff. And this guy got bit, and everybody's like, oh, man, we feel so bad. And I'm just like, that'll learn you.
Yeah. No, we got a bunch of deadly shit here, too.
But, I mean,
scorpions and other things, black widows.
Yeah, I mean, we got black widows here. But so out in the desert, it just seems like there's a lot of stuff that wants to kill you out there, even the sun.
Yeah. That we have people that visit here all the time, dude, and they think that they can just go hiking on a mountain for the first time ever.
No sunscreen.
Nothing. I want to say maybe 5 years ago we had somebody visiting, not me personally, but it was on the news here in Arizona. Visiting from Alaska, and they thought they would go hike the mountain. It's called Camelback Mountain. It kind of looks like a camelback.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it.
Mark, so before we get into the interview and stuff, tell my audience supporters a little bit about yourself, how they can check out the content. I know that you have a podcast as well. Tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how they can check out all the content you're putting out.
So I run a show called Amigos PC, where me and my co-host, we interview people in comedy, cinema, and crypto. We started in comedy initially. We had a bunch of local comedians here to the Arizona and since branched that out. Our show and your show is intertwined a little bit.
Ralph.
We've had Ralph Sutton. Yeah. Yeah, we've had Ralph Sutton on. That expanded to a lot of different things once we started really rolling into the podcast and getting a little seasoned. It opened up a venture of us mining cryptocurrency, and we have since started a business that's focus-centric around crypto.
What kind of crypto are you mining? Or not mining, but buying or mining? Like, what are you getting into crypto-wise?
So we're buying equipment that mines quite a few different
coins. Oh, so you are mining.
Yeah. We don't buy it. We started buying it directly, but we felt that it'd be more advantageous to invest in equipment versus just outright buying it.
I got a buddy that I need to get. You know what? I need to see if I can get him on. But graphic cards. How important is graphic cards when it comes to mining Bitcoin and stuff?
Well, Bitcoin specifically.
Or not Bitcoin, but just crypto in general. Sorry.
Well, graphics cards do mine quite a few of decentralized coins, so it just depends on what you're into, what you're actually going to be mining, on how valuable a graphics card would be to you. So I do mine things with graphics cards. That's actually how we kind of got into mining in general. We mine Ethereum and Ethereum Classic, Raven Coin, quite a few different coins when it comes to mining through a graphics card. They are the centerpiece of that specific rig, but we do have integrated systems where we mine a little bit large scale on different coins as well.
You know, so, you know, when people hear mining, oh, I'm digging in the ground, I'm doing all this and all that. But, like,
no.
explain mining when it comes to, you know, like, you're not buying it, but you're just, like, finding it, right? You're not, or I could be way off.
So, as people start to utilize a blockchain, which a token or coin would be made through a blockchain, basically the system that we build or we bought would be calculating and building what they call a block, which gets put into a ledger of the actual blockchain, validating a transaction somebody did between peer and peer. And basically we get rewarded for that. So that's, if you go to a bank, you sit at the teller gets paid, you know, an hourly wage to take your money or give you money. Same thing.
All right. So, all right. Well, all right. I also think sometimes a lot of these places, I know, like, I refuse to go to a Publix or Winn-Dixie or any of these grocery stores to trade in my change because they take a high percentage of stuff. But yeah. I've been seeing a lot of these crypto stands that pop up in some of these stores about, you know, turn your crypto into money right here. I mean, are they taking advantage of these people?
They're charging a fee just like everybody else. So are they taking advantage?
Yes, they are. Stand up and say it. Say they're taking advantage of the white trash.
Yeah, I don't use them, so I can't say that I am, you know, they're taking advantage of. But, you know, people are making money off of those ATMs.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, they take advantage of people that are, like, instead of taking the time to roll their quarters and stuff, they're taking a big-ass bite out of it. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the podcast and stuff instead of the crypto. How long have you guys been doing it for?
We just celebrated our third year this past October.
Well, I mean, I started... you know, I've been doing radio for quite some time, but decided at the beginning of 2020, when all hell was breaking loose, I'm like, all right, I'm going to start a podcast. And I grew the audio. The audio podcast is killing it right now. But since I've started the live streaming and stuff, it's just trying to get people to, you know, tune in at 7. The thing is that people listen to it later on. They don't catch it live or the next day. And I've had to get out of that mindset of, you know, just because a lot of people aren't watching live, they're going to get to it. People love on demand.
Yeah. We're in an on-demand culture now.
Yeah, I can't get over, like, I feel so inadequate because your microphone is just so, like, longer and thicker than mine. And mine's just, like, short, like a beer can type stuff. No, just show it off. I got microphone envy and everything. What are some of the topics and stuff that you guys have been chatting about?
So when we have people on the show, because we're basically an interview podcast, we're having people that are in these avenues that we enjoy to actually talk about. So like we're having comedians on talking about their comedy or, you know, life stories from them. In cinema, we're talking about people, you know, that are either actors or producing movies and talking about their project or how they got started or basically just what makes them. And then crypto wise, we're actually learning crypto. So we're talking to people that are actually building projects.
What's sad is that, like, you're probably killing it doing this whole crypto stuff. Like, you just started it and everything, and I'm probably just like, oh, crypto doesn't mean anything. And on the line with me right now is Mark Anderson. If you're in the chat room and you guys have any questions, are you down to take any questions? Yeah, I gotta tell you, sometimes my audience can be a little rough. So I can see Manu's in there, Roots Calhoun. He says, yo, 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 Tuttle. So, yeah, if any of you guys have some questions for my guests, feel free. Now, what has there been any, like, bad guests? I mean, I know you had Ralph Sutton and stuff, but, like,
yeah, he was horrible.
He was? Okay, well,
No, he wasn't. He did bitch at us for an hour about our podcast because it was at the beginning of the pandemic, and God forbid I say word live on TV or YouTube. But our audio wasn't in sync because we had just moved from a studio. Mm-hmm. To going remote, and we're still trying to figure that out. I didn't have this luscious mic in my face at all times. So.
That big, thick, and long black microphone you have right now. Yeah, I mean, I get it. But I mean, I just talked to Ralph Sutton a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, it was great. But, like, have you had one of those guests on? You were just like, oh, my God, I can't get this person off the line fast enough, because do you do them all live?
So we have people live when we initially started, like in person with us in the studio. And let me ask you this: have you ever had a guest just cry? Like,
I would love that. I could only pray for a guest to cry during an interview. I would absolutely basically cream my pants. Like, I would. I would jizz my pants if there was a guest that started crying during the middle of the interview. I'd be like, please, turn them on even heavier.
Yeah. Well, we weren't expecting it because we weren't even talking about anything that would trigger somebody to cry. And then the waterworks started. So that probably, without naming names, was probably the...
Here's a question. Manu asked, who's the guest, Tuds? I mean, come on. I mean, I could tell everybody, but I mean, I think everybody would like to hear from yourself. You know, blow up your own spot, my friend.
No, but I won't do that, but it's within the first 20 episodes of our show.
Oh, come on. Listen, it's Mark Anderson. Everybody knows Mark Anderson. Come on, where have you been? Yeah, I mean, if you got to be, you got to be on the end. He's look at the big ass microphone that Mark Anderson has. He's world famous for his big, thick, long, black, thick microphone. Come on. So, Mark, I see you got a little pop Funkos in the background there. You know, sometimes a lot of these people take the collections a little too far. Are you one of those guys that collects all the pop Funko little things? It looks like you have a Loki. Am I right, Bice? Is that a Loki in the background?
No, that's actually a gremlin. No, it's just a little collectibles to have in the background.
I see the gremlin, but I'm talking about in the white box there. Oh. Like right above. No, the other side. No. Turn around. Yeah, right there. That looks like a Loki.
So there's Citadel Rick.
Mm-hmm.
He's the teacher Rick. And then there's Cara Dune, which she's no longer in the Mandalorian.
All right. So you're talking like from Rick and Morty then, right? Mm-hmm. Citadel Rick. Yeah. All right. Got you. I mean, it would have been cool to have a Pickle Rick. Do they even make a Pop Funko, Pickle Rick?
Yeah, I think they do. I have little miniature guys, too. That, I probably did take that one a little overboard. I got all the little mini Funko Pops.
Yeah.
I got literally every single Rick and Morty one.
Do you go to the conventions and stuff? I mean, have you been to it? No, you don't. See, I used to be that guy. I used to go to all the conventions. I've never been to Comic-Con. Because it just gets a little too, it's become too Hollywood. I think the biggest one I ever went to was Dragon Con in Atlanta. So would any other nerdy collections and stuff like that? No?
No, especially since we've been getting into crypto, my main focus has been, expanding rigs or building our mine or something along those lines. I honestly don't have time to do any type of collectibles.
You're a married guy? Dating?
Yeah.
You are.
Married, yeah.
Kids?
Yeah, wow. Three.
Wow. Oh, man. Sorry about that. No, yeah, I know you love them and stuff, but I mean, all boys?
No, so two teenage girls and then one toddler.
Okay.
Who's my son?
Wait, hold on. Let's... Why the big age discrepancy there? Like, you got teenage girls and then you got a toddler and that's a boy?
Yeah.
Man, I feel bad for you. Like, I'm not trying to make you feel, but okay. So as a man, how is it having two teenage girls? Like,
it's literal hell.
It is. Like, are you that guy or that father that is overbearing, or do you let them have a little bit of their freedom? Because as a guy, I mean, I don't know how you were when you were younger and stuff, but you're like, oh man, I was such a dick to women. I completely disrespected them and stuff. It would be my biggest nightmare. I have no kids, so I'm never going to have to worry about that. But man, I've always wondered how that is.
So I feel, me personally, if you're asking me, I feel like I'm a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But if you ask the kids, I am definitely overbearing.
How, so you're saying teenage, what, early teens, later teens,
one of each.
Wow, man, you you kind of spaced them out with the teenagers, but then you waited and. So you got
that was an accident all in itself. So
don't say that if the kid watches this, because these podcasts get archived and everything, and the kid may watch it when he's 11 or 12 and be like, oh man, my dad said it was an accident.
I'm sure he's heard it already.
Now, have you, like, is there any of the boyfriends that you haven't agreed with? Like, you've
all just, of them?
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Not a fan. And honestly, most of the time, I'm like, you don't got time for any of this shit. Like, just focus on all the stuff that matters. Boys don't.
But, like, all right, so did you let the wife talk to them about, see, as he's probably got vodka and cranberry in that coffee mug.
Tequila.
Tequila. He's out, yeah. But did you let the wife talk to them about the, you know, the birds and the bees type stuff? Or, like, did you do that at all?
We both kind of tackled that. She did a little bit more.
Yeah, with the
friendly than me. I was a little bit more abrasive, as if don't come home pregnant or you're not coming home.
Yeah, you might want to be careful about that. Abortion might not be legal real soon. So I'm just saying, I'm sorry. I should not be talking about your kids or like that and everything. But what I'm just trying to say, it's in the news right now. So I had to make the joke and everything. But man, that's. You're a better man than I am. Like, seriously, because I don't deal with stress very well. Maybe that's why I have a full head of hair and not a shot at you or anything. But I mean, I'm sure the daughters, teenage daughters, probably don't help out with that.
Oh, before kids, man, I had 80s big poof hair.
But it is a trade-off, though. My dad always told me that, you know, guys that have a lot of, like, thick facial hair. You got a lot of body hair?
Yeah.
My dad always said, if you see a guy that's got a lot of body hair and a lot of facial hair, they, you know, look at mine. Even though it's not great hair, it's very thick. But you do see a lot of people like, I can't. I grow the greatest pedophile beard of all time. I really, really do. So that's something I'm cursed with. I got gray hair, but pedophile beard all day.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just this runs in the family. My dad has the same kind of beard, just as big. I didn't ever think I was going to grow a beard, but, you know, got into my 30s, and I was like, I'm done shaving.
Yeah. I got to shave. Like I said, I can't get close to school zones when I grow facial hair and everything because it's really, really bad. Hey, Mark, before I let you go, tell my audience how they can check out your podcast. They want to learn more about crypto and stuff. How can they do that?
So you can always head over to my website, amigospc.net. You can catch all of our shows on all the social medias with Amigos PC everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, all of that. If you want to learn anything about crypto or if you're interested just taking a dabble or want to communicate with us a little bit about crypto, you can go to coastalcryptomining.com.
All right, Mark, man. Hey, I had a great I really, really enjoyed this conversation with you, man. I want to have you on again. And if you ever need anything, feel free to reach out.
All right. Appreciate it, dude.
All right, man. Have a good one. Bye.
You too.
All right, 407-270-3044. I'm going to play one more story before I get out of here. I thought this was really, really interesting. Where was it? Rep Google Give to Worker Falls. Oh, yeah, Meth House. Everybody's like, oh, Meth House? Yeah, Meth House. This is how well the housing market is doing right now. I didn't even know like meth could poison the walls of the house you're trying to sell. But the housing market is doing so well that you can tell everybody, hey, I got a meth house. And they'll tell you, oh yeah, I'll give you $400,000 to $500,000 for your meth house.
Yeah, and you know, it can be cleaned up and remediated with a professional crew that can go in and clean things up. But we are standing in Mill Creek, which obviously is in Salt Lake County. And over the last 12 months, the health department has become known of a meth-contaminated house on average every single day.
Wow. Okay, so, yeah. I didn't know. Like, the worst thing that you can get is to buy a home that the previous owner was a cigarette smoker. For real. I've been around methamphetamines. Not going to talk about, but I mean, Roots Calhoun says, think about how nicotine stains walls and this is meth. I mean, Roots, I mean, you're absolutely right. But I just didn't know, like, it was like methamphetamines were like really bad. Matter of fact, if I'm being honest, I'd rather own a meth house than a nicotine house because I cannot stand cigarettes. But also at the same time, I'm sure a lot of smoking meth in a house, you would definitely be able to tell the difference.
It's definitely an affluent neighborhood.
April Davis lives in the Canyon Rim neighborhood in Mill Creek.
A lot of what makes this area appealing is the location.
Yeah. Sorry. Guys, come on. Let's be honest. This is a mom. If you live next door and you were like a single dad or a single dad and this woman was living next door, let's be honest. You would definitely throw it at this woman. She is an 8 when it comes to hot meals. Like, she just has this look to her. Yeah, she's got some of the lines and stuff. She's kind of squinty eye. But look, this is your state-of-the-art, stereotypical MILF.
Because it's so close to the Wasatch Mountains.
Right next door to April is this 1,500 square foot home listed for $500.
All right, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. 1,500 square foot, $500,000, and it's also a meth house. Does anybody else not see a problem with the outrageous prices on homes? Because I was in my mid to late 20s, a homeowner at the time, when the housing bubble just completely burst. And we had to bail out all the banks and stuff. Nobody is a little concerned about this. No, nobody is like, oh, yeah, I see this one coming. Because, I mean, this is the biggest, like, all right, hey, it's coming right around the corner. I mean, Twisted Movie says it. Prices are insane. $500,000 for a 1,500-square-foot home that is basically a meth house. It is a meth house. Not basically, it is a meth house.
$75,000. According to the Salt Lake Board of Realtors, this home is in a zip code where the median price is $805,000.
This area seems to be a really popular area for investors.
All right, whoa. All right. I know some of the people watch this audio. You know that, all right, for one thing, it doesn't look like they're cutting the grass that much, but look at this cat. This cat is wearing a scarf. Or a collar. Oh, I mean, a lot of cats have collars and stuff. But look at this frou-frou thing that this cat is wearing. My God. And this is in a neighborhood with a meth house. Twisted Movies, right? Sadly, this is what the rich people do to us when we want $15 an hour. You want a livable wage? Fine. We will make it so you can't live. Man. That is some truth. That is a truth comment if I've ever read one.
To do quick turnovers with homes.
The listing.
I don't know what it is, but man, I find her to be hot.
Is being very transparent. This nearly $600,000 home tested for meth.
It does shock people to know that there's meth in their neighborhood, for sure. A lot of what we see are just lower levels from people using and not necessarily manufacturing.
Shane Woodworth owns Crime Scene Cleaners and cleans up meth
I gotta tell you that, you know, I'm laughing. Seems like a pretty interesting job. Crime Scene Cleaners. Hey, Vulture, if you're watching this show, can we try to get, here, let me see what his name is, because they did say it. I would like to see what his name is.
From people using and not necessarily manufacturing.
Shane Woodworth owns... Crime Scene Cleaners.
Crime Scene Cleaners. Shane Woodworth from Crime Scene Cleaners. I'll send you an email as well.
Cleans up meth-contaminated houses.
A lot of people live in them and are just fine, but there's a small...
Because let's be honest, I'm going to ask way better questions than this reporter. I'm not saying I got some type of ego and stuff, but I got way better questions than what this reporter could ask. Maybe he did have better questions and the program director just, or the news editor didn't put him in there.
Small percentage of people that really do get very sick from these contaminated homes and living there.
According to the Salt Lake County Health Department, 375 properties tested positive for a chemical contaminant.
Wow. I kind of blame this to the popularity on the West Coast of Breaking Bad. That show was shot in New Mexico, took place in New Mexico. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked to learn that there's a lot of meth houses in that type of area.
Contamination in just the last 12 months. Shane says he's as busy as he's ever been.
A lot of them are a little bit lower income homes that we go into.
Not $500,000 for a 1,500 square foot home, that is ridiculous. Sorry.
But we do see high-end homes as well. We see high-end homes up in Park City, nicer areas of Salt Lake County, Utah County. Meth doesn't discriminate. It's everywhere. Every neighborhood could have it.
Now the listing.
I mean, this reporter is so slow on the draw. He needs to be doing some meth. Just being honest.
The agent, I spoke with them over the phone a little bit earlier tonight. They declined to do an on-camera interview, but they said that this house will actually close on Monday. And as part of...
Yeah, so get that, though. This is how desperate people are when it comes to the housing market right now. I guarantee you they had over 10 offers for this meth home. Matter of fact, I guarantee you it probably sold for $500,000 to $550,000. And you probably had a half dozen offers on this. So, yeah, I mean, if nobody else feels like this is not a problem, then you're going to get caught up in this whole housing price bubble when it pops. It's going to. I mean, Twisted Movie is right. I mean, that's the other thing. I'll cash you because a bank ain't going to finance that. You know, Twisted Movies, I saw that, like, some of the offers that are even, like, way ridiculous. People that are buying homes, they're offering to move the people they're buying the home from and actually, like, covering the people's home that they're moving to, their closing costs. It's just way outrageous. Now, it's going to slow down a little bit because they're raising interest rates and stuff. And you know that the banks, they're going to just be writing loan after loan after loan. And it's just going to be 2008 all over again. I know it. You know it. It's going to happen. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here. If you get a chance, if you want to help out financially, you can cheer bits YouTube, or no, cheer bits on Twitch, Super Chat on YouTube, or if you don't want to do any of that, you can easily do it. Go to my PayPal, paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. If you want to leave a voicemail, 407-270-3044, or you can email me, Tuttle. That's Tuttle with two Ds, T-U-D-D-L-E, @gmail.com. Want to thank everybody, Roots Calhoun, Twisted Movie, Manu, Mark, Fish on J, everybody, Jay Pinkman, Keith Vena, Bubba Lost Everything, Iggy T, everybody that checked out tonight's show. Hopefully you guys have a great night. Hopefully you stay safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.